Thank you, Vaughn. Take your Bibles and let's turn to Genesis chapter 30. And today we're looking at verses 25 through 43. Genesis chapter 30, verses 25 through 43. Genesis chapter 30, beginning verse 25. After Rachel gave birth to Joseph, Jacob said to Laban, "Send me on my way so I can go back to my own homeland. Give me my wives and children for whom I have served you, and I will be on my way. You know how much work I've done for you." But Laban said to him, "If I have found favor in your eyes, please stay. I have learned by divination that the Lord has blessed me because of you." He added, "Name your wages, and I will pay them." Jacob said to him, "You know how I have worked for you, and how your livestock has fared under my care. The little you had before I came has increased greatly, and the Lord has blessed you wherever I have been. But now, when may I do something for my own household?" "What shall I give you?" he asked. "Don't give me anything," Jacob replied. "But if you will do this one thing for me, I will go on tending your flocks and watching over them. Let me go through all your flocks today and remove from them every speckled or spotted sheep, every dark-colored lamb, and every spotted or speckled goat. They will be my wages, and my honesty will testify for me in the future. Whenever you check on the wages you have paid me, any goat in my possession that is not speckled or spotted, or any lamb that is not dark-colored, will be considered stolen." "Agreed," said Laban. "Let it be as you have said." That same day, he removed all the male goats that were streaked or spotted, and all the speckled or spotted female goats, all that had white on them, and all the dark-colored lambs, and he placed them in the care of his sons. Then he put a three-day journey between himself and Jacob, while Jacob continued to tend the rest of Laban's flocks. Jacob, however, took fresh-cut branches from poplar, almond, and plane trees and made white stripes on them by peeling the bark and exposing the white inner wood of the branches. Then he placed the peeled branches in all the watering troughs so that they would be directly in front of the flocks when they came to drink. When the flocks were in heat and came to drink, they mated in front of the branches, and they bore young that were streaked or speckled or spotted. Jacob set apart the young of the flock by themselves, but made the rest face the streaked and dark-colored animals that belonged to Laban. Thus he made separate flocks for himself and did not put them with Laban's animals. Whenever the stronger females were in heat, Jacob would place the branches in the troughs in front of the animals, so they would mate near the branches. But if the animals were weak, he would not place them there. So the weak animals went to Laban, and the strong ones to Jacob. In this way, the man grew exceedingly prosperous and came to own large flocks and maidservants and menservants and camels and donkeys. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your blessings upon us and your presence to us and how you have already ministered to us today. As we come before your word, we pray that you would speak afresh and give us ears to hear you, hearts to receive you. May we be mindful to obey you. Have your way. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Well, some of you know the story of Laban. The story of Jacob quite well. We've kind of been moving along and kind of following the story of Jacob. And let me just kind of bring you up to date in case you're not real familiar with the story of Jacob. But Jacob was a twin, and he was the younger twin. And when he and his brother, his older brother by a few minutes, Esau, when they were in the womb, they were struggling with each other. It was full-on kind of turf war inside of the womb. Esau was born first. Jacob came out grasping the heel of his brother Esau. Jacob wanted to be first. The boys grow, and Jacob kind of lives around the tents. Esau goes out and hunts. Esau comes home one day. He's famished from hunting. He hasn't had a real successful day. Jacob has some red stew on the fire, and Esau says, I'm famished, I'm worn out, give me something to eat. Let me have some of that red stew. And Jacob says, sell me your birthright. And Esau is so hungry, he thinks, what good is my birthright if I'm dead? And so he sells it. And Jacob has the birthright. Time goes on. Their father, Isaac, is getting old, and he's about to die. And Isaac wants one good meal, one more good meal, and he wants to pass his blessing upon his firstborn son, Esau. Mom hears about it, and Mom wants Jacob, the younger one, to get the blessing. And so when Isaac sends Esau out to hunt and to bring back some game, Mom and Jacob go to work, and Mom fixes up a dinner just like Isaac, the dad, likes, and Jacob plays the part of Esau and gets the blessing. Esau comes back fuming. He's ready to kill. He's going to kill Jacob. He's just waiting for his dad to die, and as soon as his dad dies, he's going to take his brother out. Mom hears about this. Mom comes up with a plan. Mom's always good at coming up with a plan. Mom decides it's time for Jacob to get married, so sends Jacob back to her family to get a wife. And this is where Jacob meets Rachel, and it's where he meets Laban, and it's also where he meets Leah and their maidservants. And I won't go into all of that, but Jacob falls in love with Laban's youngest daughter, Rachel. And he agrees to work 7 years in order to receive Rachel as his wife. And after 7 years of labor so that he could marry Rachel, the 7 years are up, and he says, okay, give me my wife. And Laban says, okay, we'll have a big wedding, and we'll have the festival. We'll invite everybody in. And so things are going like normal, and the bride is veiled. And so Jacob takes his veiled wife, thinking that it's Rachel, and the next morning realizes that it was Leah, the one he didn't love. And so now he's married to Leah, and he's really upset with Laban, and he wants Rachel. He talks to Laban about it, and Laban says, well, in our country, the custom is that we marry the oldest one first and then the younger. But I'll tell you what, finish your week out with Leah, and then after that you can have Rachel for another 7 years. And so Jacob works 14 years for Laban, and he gets two wives and their maidservants who become his wives. So now he's got four wives. And then those of you who were here last week realize that not only did he get four wives, but out of those four wives, he has 11 sons and one daughter. And now we're at the place where Jacob is tired of working for Laban. And Jacob says, I want to go home. I want to take my wives, I want to take my kids, and I want to go back to my land, back to the land of my family. And he's hoping that Laban will send him on his way with a blessing. And so let's kind of pick it up there, and we'll kind of walk through it again. And it's an interesting conversation between Jacob and Laban. And what kind of sets this whole thing off is Rachel gives birth to Joseph, and so now Jacob says, okay, it's time to go. Rachel's finally had a child. You remember from last week that she was barren. So Rachel's had a child, and now it's time to go home. So look at the conversation. Start at verse 25. Send me on my way so I can go back to my homeland, back to my place, back to my land. Give me my wives and children for whom I have served you, and I will be on my way. You know how much work I've done for you. Okay, do you hear what, you got to read between the lines here. You know how much work I've done for you. What's he saying? Send us away with a gift. Okay, throw us a shower, do something for us. Send us on our way. And look at the response back from Laban. You know, Jacob's kind of got his courage up and saying, give me. Look what Laban says. If I have found favor in your eyes, please stay. He sounds so kind and generous here. Please stay. I have learned by divination that the Lord has blessed me because of you. All right, so he sees the Lord at work in Jacob's life, and he knows that because of the Lord using Jacob and being with Jacob, that he has prospered. But look at verse 28, and we see the heart of Laban. Name your wages, and I will pay them. See, Jacob already got his contract fulfilled. The deal was 14 years, you can have my two daughters. Jacob's asking for more. Jacob's asking for a bonus. You know, send me on my way now with my wives and their children, and how about a bonus because you're rich now and God has blessed you through me. And Laban's not going to talk bonus. Laban says, well, let's talk wages. And so when Laban is saying, let's talk wages, what he's saying is, I'm not going to send you with any kind of a bonus. If you want more, you're going to have to work longer. Do you see it? I mean, he's real shrewd in how he says it. And it makes it sound like, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Let's talk wages. Jacob is not happy. Verse 29. You know how I've worked for you and how your livestock has fared under my care. The little you had before I came has increased greatly, and the Lord has blessed you wherever I have been. Do you hear what Jacob is saying? Jacob is coming back to Laban and he's saying, look, you know that you didn't have very much, and now you have a lot. Now you have an abundance. And the reason why you have an abundance is because the Lord was with me. Wherever I was at, the Lord blessed you. Give it up. How about a bonus? And Jacob tries to plead his case even more. I made you great. Let me do something for my own household. So here comes a response back from Laban. What shall I give you? And Jacob realizes he's not getting anywhere. So Jacob says, don't give me anything. He realizes that Laban, he can't deal with Laban, so he finally has enough, just don't give me anything. But he says he's got one plan. So you got to follow this closely. Jacob replied, but if you'll do this one thing for me, I will go on tending your flocks and watching over them. Let me go through all your flocks today and remove every speckled or spotted sheep, and the goats as well. Now here's the deal. What color are sheeps? Sheeps. What color are sheep? Lambs. White. I know, we're all stuck in the city. When's the last time you even saw a sheep? Okay. So those of you who have some experience with animals, you know that sheep are typically white. Okay, and what color are goats? Brown, dark color, black. Okay, so the goats are darker, the sheep are white, but rarely do you have a spotted lamb, a spotted sheep. You know, rarely do you have a goat that has stripes. Okay, they're usually one dark color, one whitish color. So what's Jacob saying? Let me do one thing. This is all I'm asking for. Let me go through the flocks and pull out all the animals that are spotted or streaked, multicolored, and then you can have the rest. But just let me take those. They'll be my wages, and you'll know whether or not I've taken from you. And he says, trust my honesty, and that makes us laugh a little bit. But trust my honesty, and it'll be obvious if I have an all-white sheep or an all-dark goat, you know that's yours and I stole it from you. Sounds like a plan. Realize he's not asking for very much. Okay, because the vast majority of sheep are all white, and the vast majority of goats are all dark. But now, here's where you need to, you might need to put a little note here. Verse 34. Agreed, said Laban, let it be as you have said. That same day he, now who is the he right there? It's Laban. That same day Laban removed all the male goats that were streaked or spotted, and all the speckled or spotted female goats, all that had white on them, and all the dark colored lambs, and he placed them in the care of his sons. And then he put a 3-day journey between himself and Jacob, while Jacob continued to tend the rest of Laban's flocks. Did you just hear what happened? Yeah. So here you have Jacob asking for a very minimal flock to work with. The spotted and speckled animals, and there weren't very many of them. And Laban says, that sounds like a good deal. And Laban separates those out, sends them with his sons. They go 3 days away. Jacob is there now tending Laban's flock of all white and all dark animals. And he has none of his own. He just got had again. I mean, Laban, you don't want to mess with Laban. So now what? He's got this deal, he's working for wages, and there's none. I mean, he's starting with absolutely nothing again. So what does he do? Well, this is interesting. I really don't know how this works. But he gets some he comes up with a plan. And the plan is that he's going to take some branches, poplar wood, whatnot, and he's going to peel off the bark so that the wood, the white of the wood shows over against the dark bark. Okay, you with me on that? And then when the animals are in heat and they're ready to mate and they go to the watering troughs, he's going to put those sticks down in the watering troughs so that they see these kind of streaked sticks. And his thinking is that if they mate in front of the peeled back bark, so that you have these kind of this multicolored branches, you know, the dark wood or the dark bark and the white wood kind of exposed together, that somehow that's going to produce speckled animals. That the white sheep are going to have sheep that have dark streaks on them. And the dark goats are going to mate and have offspring that have white streaks in the offspring. Now, I don't know how this works. I'm not a biologist. I'm not sure he was. But it starts to work. And then he gets really clever. And he only does that when the stronger animals are mating. So if it's a weak animal that's in heat and they're mating, he doesn't worry about the branches or anything. They can have all the kids that they want, offspring that they want, and that belongs to Laban. But when it's stronger animals that are mating, that's when he goes to work. And what happens is that he develops a really strong flock for himself. Look at the last line here. Verse 42-ish. But right in the middle. So the weak animals went to Laban and the strong ones to Jacob. In this way, the man grew exceedingly prosperous and came to own large flocks and maidservants and men servants and camels and donkeys. And so from this, he was able to develop great wealth. From this, his flock grew strong and Laban's grew weak, and there was no denying that it was his flock. Okay, now I know that you're wondering, what in the world does this have to do with us today? Well, let me keep working with it for a moment. See, one of the things that is going on here is that Jacob had a promise from God. As Jacob left home and he was basically on the run from his brother and to get a wife, when Jacob was making that journey, he had this dream. And in this dream, he saw this ladder, this staircase that extended from earth where he was at all the way up to heaven. And he saw angels going up and coming down the staircase. And he realized that in this, God was watching over him. That God would be present with him. In fact, that God was already present. And you might even say the angels going up and the angels coming down was kind of a changing of the guard as he was getting ready to go into new territory. But the Lord was with him. And the Lord appeared to him in the dream and made a promise to him. And the promise was that I'm going to give you children. I'm going to give you offspring. The promise was that I'm going to bless you, going to make you prosperous. And the promise was that I will watch over you where you are going, and I will bring you back to your land. And the promise also was that I'm going to bless others, all peoples, through you. And so what we have seen happen, while Jacob has spent all this time with Laban, is we've seen God bringing these promises to fulfillment. We've seen God being with Jacob. We've seen God blessing Jacob with offspring. Maybe not the way Jacob expected it to happen. Certainly not the way we expected it to happen. But nonetheless, God has worked through all of the maneuverings of Laban to still keep his promise to Jacob. Even more, we have seen God keep his promise to Jacob that all peoples are going to be blessed through you. And I'm sure he wasn't real pleased about it. I know I'm not real pleased about it as I read the story. But even Laban was blessed through Jacob. It just seems like Laban shouldn't get blessed. But even Laban was blessed through Jacob, just like God had promised, I will bless all peoples through you. He's making them great. He's making them prosperous. In fact, the line that is there, it almost reminds us of what was said about Abraham becoming of such great status. And the one thing that's kind of left, in a sense, to be fulfilled is the land part. And this is kind of what kicks off Jacob's journey back to that promised land. So we need to hear all of this in terms of that promise. Now, I know you're still thinking, what does this really have to do with us? Well, here's the big picture. Jacob is in servitude, right? He's basically serving Laban. And in the midst of serving Laban, God is watching over him, and God is making him stronger, and God is blessing through him, and God is bringing him to a place where God is going to bring him back to the land. Does this remind you of anything? A little bit of Abraham. When Abraham went down to Egypt because of the famine, what happened when he was in Egypt? He actually prospered. And then eventually God brought him back. The Israelites, when they went into a foreign land, they went down to Egypt, right? They went down to Egypt, and what happened while they were down there in Egypt? They multiplied. So that all Egypt was teeming with them, right? And in fact, they became kind of a threat to the Pharaoh. So the Pharaoh decided there's too many Israelites down here. We got to snuff a few of them out. We're going to start drowning the baby boys in the Nile. And what happened? They continued to multiply and increase. So even in a foreign land, under a cruel ruler like Pharaoh, the Israelites kept growing, multiplying. And eventually they come out of there to head back home. But when they head back home, I don't know how well you know the story, but when they head back home, they actually plunder the Egyptians. And the Egyptians give them all their stuff and they go. And you'll remember that even after that, Pharaoh went after them. Because as much as Pharaoh despised them, he realized that he was being blessed through all of their hard labor. All of the buildings that got built. And so he goes after them. He may not have acknowledged that it was God who was blessing him, but through the Israelites, Egypt became greater. Are you seeing a parallel here? And so much as this is Jacob's story of being in servitude and yet God blessing and God blessing through to where Laban doesn't want to let Jacob go home. He wants to keep him there and keep him subjected. Well, that's Israel's story. Down in Egypt, God multiplying them, God blessing them, God blessing through them. And yet this desire to come home, and the Pharaoh wouldn't let him. We'll jump forward a little bit. Eventually, Israel made it out of Egypt, back home to the Promised Land, and then they were exiled. And so then they're in captivity in Babylon. And they're reading this story. And what do you think they're hearing as they read this story? Well, maybe what they're hearing as they read this story about Jacob being under Laban, and as they reflect on Israel under Pharaoh, maybe one of the things that comes to mind is that even though they're in Babylon, God is yet with them. And even though they're in Babylon, they will be made strong by God. That God will multiply them there in Babylon. That God will be with them there in Babylon. That God will actually use them to bring blessing to Babylon. And in the blessing coming to Babylon, Israel will be blessed. And eventually, when the time is right, God will bring them home to the Promised Land. The letter that Jeremiah wrote to the exiles was very much like this. Pray for the peace of Babylon. It goes well for them, it will go well for you. Seek the peace of that city. I know, I'm thinking real big picture here. I guess what I want you to see, what I think we need to see, is that even under somebody as crooked and cruel and conniving as Laban, the presence of God cannot be sealed out. Do you see that? Laban's trying to maneuver everything, work everything to his gain. Laban really doesn't care about Jacob. And as much as Laban is operating out of self-interest and he's conniving and knows how to get his self-interest accomplished, he cannot seal out God. He cannot seal out God working to advance the promise. The promise is being advanced even when Jacob is stuck under Laban. And see, that's what's happening down in Egypt. As cruel as Pharaoh is, as powerful as Pharaoh is, as self-interested as Pharaoh is, even under Pharaoh, God cannot be sealed out. And God continues to work to advance the promise. And that promise is that all peoples will be blessed through Israel, through Abraham's seed. Hope for the exiles. That even in captivity in Babylon, and Babylon only cares about Babylon, not about Israel, not about Israel's God, but even in captivity there, God cannot be sealed out. Now this takes me, just thinking about this, this inability to kind of seal out God from God accomplishing, advancing the promise. The passage that we heard at the beginning of the service from Philippians. Paul is in jail. He's under Roman authority. And did you hear what he said? I want you to know, church, that what has happened to me, and he's talking about his incarceration, he's talking about his chains, he's talking about being in bondage and under Roman authority. I want you to know, church, that what has happened to me has actually turned out for the advancement of the gospel. And that the whole prison guard knows that I'm in chains because of Christ. And that the majority of the believers, instead of being silenced by my chains, are actually proclaiming the gospel more boldly. You see, the prison could not seal out God. The authority of Rome could not seal out God from advancing the gospel through Paul right there in the prison. I think about Acts, the book of Acts. I think about the martyrdom of Stephen. And here was Stephen being put to death, being stoned because of his witness. It looks like this is going to be a crushing blow to that early Christian movement. And yet, as we read, God wasn't sealed out by it. And God actually worked in the midst of that and broke through the seal so that the church was scattered in the midst of the persecution, but that actually served the advancement of the gospel, not the end of it. And really, that's kind of what Jesus is saying in the passage that Phil read. That unless I be lifted up, when I am lifted up, all men will be drawn unto me. It looks like God is being kind of sealed out in terms of Jesus coming under the authorities and being put to death. And yet Jesus knows that it's going to be in that very situation where he is lifted up on the cross that God's promise is going to be advanced. That God's kingdom is going to come. That eternal life will be offered to all who believe. And so, I mean, just thinking about it, sometimes we're convinced that we are stuck under Laban somewhere. And your Laban might be a boss at work. Your Laban might be somebody who's in charge, a PO officer, somebody over at the halfway house. Your Laban might be somebody in your own household. But sometimes we feel like we are just stuck under Labans who are somehow have us so under their control. It's almost like we feel like God can't get anything done. And I just want you to realize that that's not the case at all.
Amen.
That no matter who your Laban is, no matter what your Laban is, they can't seal out God. And God will continue to kind of break through into that very situation where you find yourself under a Laban. And God will advance the promise.
Amen.
God will advance the gospel. And at some point, your testimony, my testimony, will be Paul's testimony. Church, I want you to know that what happened to me, being under Laban, being under Rome, being under Pharaoh, being under Babylon, being under whatever Laban yours is, I want you to know that it actually turned out for the advancement of the gospel. They thought they had sealed God off. And yet somehow God found a way to seep through and to bring about an advancement of the promise of the gospel. Every Sunday, we pray the Lord's Prayer. And you know the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hear this. When we pray, thy kingdom come, we are not praying, God, help me to do your will. Well, that may be part of it, but that's certainly not all of it. When we pray, thy kingdom come, what we are praying is, God, you bring your kingdom even here when I'm sealed off by Laban. Do you see the difference? Praying your kingdom come is not praying, God, help me to do something. Praying your kingdom come is, God, you bring it. God, you do what only you can do. Bring your kingdom here under Laban. Advance your promise. Advance your gospel. Advance your good news. And what we find time and time over and over again, whether it's Old Testament, whether it's New Testament, we find God doing just that. That God is able to seep through the seals and is able to advance the promise, advance the gospel, advance his kingdom, his rule. So my prayer for you today is you don't get overwhelmed in despair because of the Labans that you're under. That you're able to look at it with a little bit different perspective and realize that even there, God is at work, somehow, some way, advancing his gospel. Listen to Jacob's testimony in chapter 31. It's kind of reflecting back on it. I'll go to verse 4 of chapter 31. So Jacob sent word to Rachel and Leah to come out to the fields where his flocks were. He said to them, I see that your father's attitude towards me is not what it was before, but the God of my father has been with me. You know that I've worked for your father with all my strength, yet your father has cheated me by changing my wages 10 times. However, God has not allowed him to harm me. If he said the speckled ones will be your wages, then all the flocks gave birth to speckled young. And if he said the streaked ones will be your wages, then all the flocks bore streaked young. So God has taken away your father's livestock and has given them to me. God's bringing justice to his plight. In breeding season, I once had a dream in which I looked up and saw that the male goats mating with the flock were streaked, speckled, or spotted. The angel of God said to me in the dream, Jacob, I answered, here I am. And he said, look up and see that all the male goats mating with the flock are streaked, speckled, or spotted, for I have seen all that Laban has been doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed a pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now leave this land at once and go back to your native land. Jacob recognized that God was the one who was with him. Jacob recognized that God was the one who was giving him prosperity. God was the one who was keeping the promise. It wasn't his own conniving. He doesn't take any credit for it. He gives it to God. Jacob is changing before our eyes. And he realizes that Laban couldn't seal him off from the presence and the promise keeping of God. Realize that about yourself today. Realize that about God and you and your Labans. That there is no Laban that can seal you off from the presence and the promise keeping of God. And you will have the testimony. I want you to know, church, that what has happened to me has actually turned out for the advancement of the gospel.